Well, church, it's good to be with you this morning. We are in the midst of a series called What Jesus Did. And as disciples of Jesus, we don't always just want to know him or know about him or be known as one of his followers just through association, but we want to live like Jesus lived. And so this year, we are processing this idea of doing what Jesus did in our rhythm of discipleship, that is being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. And so as we look at the scriptures, as we look at Jesus' actual interactions with human beings, as he reveals what he is called to do as the Messiah, this morning we are going to look at the theme of justice and the way that Jesus moves in and through an unjust world, and understanding more about who he is, who the kingdom is. And in February of 2017, I sat down with a group of student leaders, and we watched a movie that was made in 2015 called Selma. And the beginning of Selma shows an experience and a real life story that happened in 1963, which was the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church. And if you don't remember what happened in this church, neither did my students. My students were all Gen Z, and so most of them are born after 2011. And so understanding what they've been, or seeing what they've read in textbooks, began to open their eyes, as well as it does for anybody that gets to see the depiction of what it actually was like in visual representation. But what happened was, is there was a group of white supremacists that wanted to bomb a African-American church that was known to be a leader in the civil rights movement. And what happened, though, was it didn't do what it was intended to do, because it killed four young innocent girls in the bathroom. And what you'd see in the movie is a depiction of these girls walking down, talking about hair, talking about life, and all of a sudden this explosion goes off. And it pans out after the explosion to see the remnants of this blast. And I remember looking down, as well as in my own heart, feeling the full weight of this injustice. I looked down at my six student leaders, and every one of them, jaws dropped. And for some of them, tears flowing. Because they were actually seeing in a real time a physical or a picture and an image and a story that had come to life. And the question stirred deep into their soul, of the question of how could this be? It's the same question that we are going to wrestle with this morning, is how can it be? How can injustice be so prevalent in a world where Jesus has come and is coming? And this morning we're going to talk about this big idea that justice isn't just a byproduct of the kingdom, it is central. And so for some of us, as we think about it, is that Jesus is coming, that Jesus is not just bringing something along with him, but justice is the core and center to who he is and who the kingdom is. And so this morning, we're going to look in John chapter 4. We're going to be starting in verse 19. And this is the story of the Samaritan woman. And so if you have a physical Bible or a digital one, I encourage you to bring it out, to look at it and follow along. It says this: "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that a place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and is now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. As we prepare our hearts, would you join us in a communal corporate time of silent prayer as we prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord? Would you pray with me? God, you said for us to be still and to know you are God. Father, would you send the Holy Spirit to give us eyes to see you? Would you send the Holy Spirit to give us ears to hear your whisper of your will? God, would you open our hearts to your way? And Holy Spirit, would you transform our mind to the renewing of a transformed life? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we get into the text, we realize that Jesus' introduction to this woman isn't a movement. She is understanding that when Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, shows up, that he is going to introduce the fullness of the kingdom. And while they might have expected something different, and maybe she did too, but we understand that right now, that is not a movement, that justice is oriented around the kingdom. And often some of us think that when we talk about a movement versus the kingdom, we believe that a movement is something new, on the precipice, on the cutting edge. But it is often rooted in something more ancient. Martin Luther King Jr.'s civil rights movement wasn't just a new thing that he had thought up, and all of a sudden, a new thing was happening. He was landing solely on a very old and ancient thing. The idea that was rooted in Scripture, that all people bear the Imago Dei. The image of the most invisible God is seen visible in every human being. This is the foundation of the movement, of the civil rights movement. And this, as we come to the woman at the well, is a reality that Jesus is ushering in the kingdom from something he started earlier when he walked into his hometown, set into worship with people that he had been with, and they invited him to unroll a scroll, to read it. And he read it before his people. He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to recovery for the sight, for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now don't, lest you get that last one, isn't oriented in justice. The year of the Lord's favor is Jubilee, and the Jubilee is 50 years of making things right, finally, that have been made wrong. And this is the place we live in. This is the place that Jesus finds himself beginning his ministry as not something new that they thought the Messiah would bring, but something very ancient, something very prophetic, something very true to the age of the past, the current age, and the age to come. The Spirit was on him, and the Spirit was going to bring justice. He wasn't introducing anything new, but the kingdom was about justice for the oppressed and the poor. That those that were excluded, those that were left out, that those who couldn't fend for themselves or couldn't bring enough of an offering to make themselves right, that they were who the kingdom was for. Justice is the center of God's movement. And this is where he meets the woman at the well. She is the fringe of the fringe society. She is the one who shouldn't be there while he is there. But by meeting her, it is not something new that all of his disciples were like, whoa, this Messiah has done something that's never been done before. Because God sees Deborah. God sees Rahab. God sees Esther. God sees these women. He sees Ruth, those who are on the fringe of society, who says that they have been a justice happened upon them. And this is not a new thing. This is the same thing that the Lord has been doing in all of existence, that Jesus is now doing forefront in front of them. And he's reminding them that this isn't something that you have been naive about. I have laid it out and I'm laying it out again to remind you of what I've been doing, what I am doing, and what you are called to do as well, to be oriented to the kingdom. And this is where we play and where we sit with this, with the woman at the well, is that injustice remains so much in part of human justification. That injustice remains in part due to the human justification that happens in our society. Not only today, but in the past as well. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, acknowledges some of the justifications that are happening. She says that the kingdom and the only place where it exists is in Jerusalem. That the injustice done to the Samaritan people was that they came and they destroyed the temple in Samaria so that they could not worship, because they believed that it was only in Jerusalem is where the Lord, the holies of holies, should and will reside. In one place, in one place only, can be multiple places, and would never be found in Samaria. That they are less Israelites. They are less than the Israelites and just a little bit more worth than the Gentiles. That because they believed in the first five books of the Pentateuch, but didn't take the rest of it to be the Word of God, that now they were somehow unworthy of experiencing the goodness of Yahweh. Because they didn't live to the very religious law that the Jewish people did. Justification for why injustice exists were not just held by the people of Israel, or against the Samaritan, but as well as the people of Israel. Do you want to jump to the text? We're kind of a little bit, keep going. It's going to be like three more slides. Keep going. One more. That Jesus, when he's interacting, or when Jesus had just healed, it said this. They had brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to do what? I'm going to restore what? Sight to the blind. Jesus said he was going to do this. And now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. All of our hearts should be like, man, dang it. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received sight. And this man said, he put mud in my eyes and I was washed and now I see. And then to this miraculous made right in Isaiah, what is the Spirit is supposed to be happening, what they should know and see, that the Messiah is coming and doing what he said he would do, they respond with, this man is not from God. For he does not keep the Sabbath. That sometimes in our humanity in part, that we allow injustice to continue on is because we want to justify how you are not living to the letter of the law while you're trying to make right and make good what has been wronged. That you preclude justice to happen. That you want injustice to happen, not on God's timing, but on yours. This is what happened to the religious elite. This wasn't a Roman soldier. This wasn't a Gentile. This was a Roman elite. Or this was a pharisaical high elder. This was a Pharisee, the elite of the religious establishment, saying this person cannot be of God because he is making just what is wrong. But he's doing exactly what according to the scriptures. The same thing happens. And the injustice that we meet with this woman. that Jesus had every justification in the book, according to the law of Moses, as a prophet, as a rabbi, as a holy person, to put to death this woman. Because of the life that she lived in counter, in opposition to the law of Moses. And yet, in every justification, he was a rabbi, he was a Jew, he was a man. But he was going to make the injustice right today for her. Because he knew that the woman that he was encountering right now did not have her own agency in the story, nor any agency in life. She had had five husbands, and yet she, according to the law of Moses, was never allowed to do the divorcing, but she was divorced five times. And then often as a widow or as a divorced woman, that you do not have the socioeconomic establishment or privilege of security, and so you need that which is offered by a man. So she goes and finds another husband. To this Samaritan woman, he was going to make right, to bring justice on the injustice that was done to her. But it also, in the text, she brings up that her people have been injustices done to them systematically. That they are excluded, that they are vermin, they are the enemy, they should be sought out, killed, and excluded. And they say, we cannot worship God. And he brings in the kingdom, he says, both the kingdom that is coming and the kingdom that is here now. You will not have to worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem or in the temple. But true worshipers, you included, are allowed, are given the right and the privilege to worship the one and true God who you've always been wanting to. And yet told you were not good enough. You were not right enough. That a time had come now because he, the Messiah, is standing in your presence and he is making all things right now and in the age to come. So for the community of Samaritans, this is good news. You wonder why she goes off and she begins to tell this good news that somehow, some way, that one man, this Messiah, the Christ that they've been waiting for, is now not only going to make it right for her, she tells her story, which is a testimony to the Messiah who can both redeem and bring justice to her, but also to her community. Come running, because who is this one that can make right the injustices of the world? But he also does it for the Gentiles. It is not only for her, but for her community and for the Gentiles, lest they not be set up against, that the Samaritans are now in the process of being come like Jews and saying, well, we can now worship, but those people. That in that moment that Jesus is saying, all people, Gentiles included, who you also look down upon, I'm bringing justice to them as well. That they have the right to know their Creator, to be seen as people made in the image of the Lord, to be forgiven, to be made clean, to be brought in full, back into the fold of a loving Father who has longed to see them, longed to speak words of value, worth, making right things that have been made wrong for far too long. Church, if justice is at the core of who Jesus is, then it must be core to who his disciples are. Jesus' disciples were far too confused when they showed up to see Jesus and the woman at the well. They were so confused that they were like, Jesus, let's try to get you something to eat. Let's turn your attention away to the things that are right. We're here now. You're friends. Let's have lunch. That can be dealt with later. Remember who you are with, Jesus. Don't be with them. Be with us. And he sat here and he looked at them. And he says, oh, my food, it is to do the will of him who set me to finish his work. You want me to eat. I'm already eating, and I've left no crumbs. Don't you know what you're saying? That it's still 4 months until the harvest. And I tell you, open your eyes and look into the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus saying, the one who one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Disciples, do you not see that this is a part of you? That yes, I have been sowing seeds of justice and making things right, and now I am going to leave, and you are going to continue what I do. You are going to reap the harvest of justice that has been brought into the kingdom, brought into the world, that you are going to reap this beautiful harvest where you will be able to see revelation at the end of it, that every tribe and every tongue will come together, will be worshiping, and shortly after I leave, the Holy Spirit will descend, and there will be people from many tongues can understand you and understand that if they can hear the word of the Lord, that it is for them. Lest they be confused that it's not for them, but by hearing it in their own tongue, that they too can receive. But church, as much as his disciples were confused, I don't want us to be confused. I don't just want to leave us here without understanding a small part that we often skip over, that earlier in the text, as he was deciding to go and on his way back to Jerusalem, he said, now he had to go through Samaria. He had to go. He had to. Had to. If your Messiah had to, you don't get to. We go through these places. We have to go. We can't avoid it. We can't be like the religious and the Jewish of those days that would walk around Samaria just in order so they don't have to be in contact with the people. That doesn't mean when people who you don't agree with or don't look like, that doesn't mean you cross the street in order to avoid them. You walk next to them and you do the same thing that your rabbi Jesus did. You go up to the people you should not be in proximity to. And you hear their story. You have compassion on them. And you listen to the Holy Spirit who's told you. And that Jesus, who you've read, who said, I've been sowing justice in and throughout the kingdom. And now you have the opportunity to reap the rewards and the justice that will come from the kingdom of God, if you are so willing. Remember, Jesus said, the harvest is plenty and the workers are few. Think about it. He's saying this even to his disciples, understanding this reality, this complex reality that they hold within their own body and in their own souls, of this injustice that is existing, as well as they are reformed and transformed by the Messiah who stands before them to make right their warped view of people who do not look like them, who do not act like them, who do not worship the same God that they worship. We need to be people of justice, both for the one person who gets introduced into our lives that is not like us, that shares their story, that we have an opportunity to reap harvest the justice for them because they are in proximity to us. And we also need to be willing, in the same way that Jesus did, is to walk out and be willing to hear and to speak the truth that there is justice for a community that has been excluded because they have been seen as less than, marginalized. Because for some reason, they're poor. They're prisoners of something. They're blind to something. And yet Jesus has come to set them free, to give them sight. If Jesus came to do that, and you and I are disciples, we are the Talmudim of Jesus, that we don't just think like Jesus, talk like Jesus, we act like Jesus. Church, what good news is the Messiah? What good news is justice for those who are receiving injustice daily? If we cut Jesus' message of justice off at the knees because we as disciples have a hard time agreeing with it. You can say that about anything. How come we are so hard at forgiving? Or do we cut Jesus' forgiveness off at the knees? His mercy off at the knees? His peace off at the knees because we sow chaos? Jesus is standing there with his best friends, not only speaking the words of justice, but showing them what it looks like for them in a mere matter of time, in a very short time, that he is going to be crucified. He is going to bear the full weight of injustice upon him. His blood is going to be poured out as a fragrant offering to make right the injustices done to humanity. And that you and I are going to be able to be a benefactor of this blood poured out of wrongs being made right. And then you are given the enormous privilege of being messengers, witnesses, emissaries of Jesus Christ, who said you could not come near the Holy of Holies, the Holy One, the one Jesus who we've been waiting for because of his death and resurrection. You too have a place, and let it be known from the disciples of Jesus that every day from this moment on, where you find a follower of Jesus, a Talmudim of Jesus, you will find one who stands in the gap and says, you and me are made in the image of the most triune God. And if you are loved, I will love you. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, just as you gave the word to your son, Martin Luther King Jr., just as you gave the word and spoke life into your disciples, to the Samaritans and to the Gentiles, Holy Spirit, speak to us now the words of life. Jesus, it is such good news that we can sit here today in all of our sin and fullness of humanity. And you don't see that. For it has been replaced by an image of your Son. You see the Holy Spirit that indwells in us. And it's a gift that I did not deserve. It is a gift that we do not deserve. And Father, forgive us for holding on to this good news to ourselves. For it is truly good news. That if it is good news to us, it is good news to all people. For I, Lord, was the worst of the worst. And you every day continue to have a place for me. May we share that good news. That there is a place in the kingdom of God. all things are made right. We ask this in your name. Amen.